If you have your Bibles tonight, just find John. John chapter 17. For the next couple of Sunday nights, I'm going to preach on prayer, how important prayer is as we begin this prayer wall that Aaron has come up with, the Lord laid on his heart. And I want to talk about tonight one of the greatest prayers that has ever been prayed, and that's found in John chapter 17. So I'm just going to read a few verses tonight. We're going to study this whole chapter, but I want to read verses 1 through 5 of John chapter number 17. This is what the Bible says. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. May the Lord bless the reading of his word tonight as we come just for a few moments tonight and talk about the greatest prayer that has ever been prayed. When you come to chapter number 17, Jesus is just a few hours from his betrayal. He's just a few hours from his arrest, his trial, and just a few hours from his crucifixion. And you know what we find the Lord Jesus Christ doing? First, let me tell you what he's not doing. He wasn't panicking as I would probably be if I knew that my hour was just a couple of hours away. He wasn't panicking as though his world was spinning out of control. No, what you find the Lord Jesus Christ doing was being committed to fulfilling the will of the Father, no matter what it was. It was his passion. It was his purpose. He said this, not my will, but yours be done. And you know what he was doing? He was praying. Just hours before his betrayal, hours before his arrest, hours before his trial, hours before his crucifixion, we find the Lord Jesus Christ praying. And tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about it and for the next couple of weeks. And I believe that this is probably one of the greatest prayers that has ever been prayed. And you know why I say that? Because it's because of who it was that was praying. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ was here knowing that in just a few hours he would be betrayed, knowing that in just a few hours he would be crucified. We find him praying. And I also noticed that he was praying right before all of this took place, just hours before. And because of the purpose of his prayer, that I love what the Bible says. The Bible says that he may be glorified and that he might bring glory to his Father. And you say, well, they say it's the longest prayer in the Bible. It's a whole chapter. The whole chapter of 17 is Jesus's prayer. And it's a long prayer. But I got to thinking, prayer doesn't have to be long, does it? Jesus was praying here. Instead of maybe a prayer, it was more of a conversation with his Father. And that's what prayer is. I mean, prayers can be short. Prayers can be long. It doesn't matter as long as we pray. I think about Peter when he wanted to walk on the water. You remember he saw Jesus walking on the water and he said, I'm coming to you, Lord. And he got up and he started walking on the water and he took his eyes off of Jesus. And put it on what he was doing, and you know the story. He began to sink, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, save me. And probably the shortest prayer, I believe it's the shortest prayer listed in the Bible. And guess what? Jesus saved him, didn't he? I call that an effective prayer. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus was right there to lift him up out of the war. Even a short prayer will reach the throne of God. There's nothing no more sincere than hearing a child, a young child, talk to the Heavenly Father. It's from the heart, and it's with meaning. And I love to hear children pray. So as we're studying this prayer tonight, Jesus' prayer, beginning in chapter 17, I want you to notice several things. First of all, he prayed for himself. I want to say there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Jesus prayed for himself there. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight in verses 1 through 5. And then next week, we'll look at 6 through 19, where he prayed for his disciples. And then in verse 20 through 26, he prayed for all of us. But I couldn't help but think about this as I studied this. While he was there, right before he was going to be arrested, right before he was going to be betrayed, he prayed for us. He had you on his mind, had me on his mind, right before all of that took place. Can I say this? Prayer works. Prayer changes things. I always remember that it's not the prayer that we're praying so much as it is the one who we're praying to. So I want you to notice several things tonight. First of all, I want you to notice when Jesus was there praying, I want you to notice the direction that he looked. It's found in verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son might glorify and may glorify you. Let me tell you something about prayer. It's all right. I've already mentioned it, but it's all right to pray for yourself. Don't think it's unspiritual to pray for yourself. Jesus did right here. He teaches us that it's okay to pray for yourself. And don't you think if Jesus found it necessary to pray for himself, that you and I ought to find it necessary to pray for ourselves? You better believe that I pray for myself every time before I stand up here in this pulpit. I pray something like this, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength to preach what you'd have me to preach tonight. Lord, help me not be a people pleaser, but a Christ pleaser. Lord, help me not to preach my words, but Lord, help me to preach your words. Lord, help me not to preach for my glory, Lord, but help me to preach for your glory. Lord, help me not to preach to get my will done, God, but help me to preach in a way that your will would be done. Lord, help me to lift you up today. I pray for myself every time before I stand in a pulpit. And I'm telling you, there's power in prayer, and there's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, if you ask anything, do it in my name. I was with my brother over the 4th, he rented a house there in Brevard. He had a house there in Brevard, and we went and spent a couple of days with him, and he prayed. You know, they always ask the preacher to pray anywhere you go, but he prayed. Every time we eat, he'd say, let me ask the blessing. And I loved how he ended his prayer, and I said something to him about it. He didn't just say, in Jesus' name. He said, as always, in Jesus' name. And I just loved it. I said, Dennis, that's pretty good. I never heard it put that way before. Always in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? So we read there in verse 1 that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and spoke to the Father. And I want to say this. That's the direction to look when you need help. to the Father. Don't go to nobody else but the Father. Listen, when I need help, I don't go to Buddha. When I need help, I don't go to those little gods with the little g. No. When I need help, I go to the Heavenly Father, the creator of the world, the one that created the sun and the moon and hung the stars in the sky. I go to the Father. That's what Jesus did. He said there in verse 1, he said that he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he spoke to the Father. And that's the direction to look when you need direction. Listen, the tragedy of our day is not unanswered prayer. The tragedy in our day is unoffered prayer. Prayer doesn't need proof, does it? It needs practice. God honors prayer. It just needs practice. I'm telling you, I'm excited about the prayer wall that'll be starting here. We'll have sign-up sheets Wednesday night. And we'll have a place where you can sign up. If you want to pray at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, you can pray every morning at 5 o'clock. Or if you want to pray at different times, we've got it set up where you pick the time that you want to pray, and we're going to all be praying for our church. I can't wait. If the Son of God, Jesus Christ, sought the Father in prayer, how much more should we? Amen? The direction he looked to the Father. But then I want you to notice number two, the desire that he sought. Not only the direction that he looked, but the desire that he sought. Verse 1, Father, the hour has come. What hour? The hour for which he came. Hey, listen, the hour of the cross, the hour where he would shed his blood on a cross to make an atonement for the sin of the world, the cross, the crucifixion, that hour, it was about to take place, and Jesus knew it, and he was going to the Father, and he said, Lord, the hour has come. Back in chapter 2, when Jesus turned the water in the wine, he said in verse woman, he said in verse 4, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Talking to his mama. And he said this, my hour has not yet come. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, in chapter 17, his hour had come. It was time. The hour that he paid for. He paid for your sin and for my sin had come. And he knew it was coming. He knew he was going to an old rugged cross. And he was in prayer to the Father. I love verse 1. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. There it is. His desire. This is Jesus' desire, was ultimately to glorify the Father. And that ought to be all of our desire today. Jesus said, glorify me so that by glorifying me, you will be glorified. In fact, in these first five verses, we find that word glorify, or glory five times. So what does it mean to glorify God? Well, it means to magnify him. It means to praise him. It means to lift him up. It means to give him honor. The passion of his heart was to bring glory, to bring honor, to magnify the Heavenly Father, to bring praise, to honor God. I want to tell you, I think I said it this morning, but he deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. You might as well get used to praising him. You might as well get used to honoring him. You might as well get used to worshiping him, because when you get to heaven, you're going to do it then. Amen? That ought to be our desire, is to bring him honor. The last part there, verse 1 says, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Look at verse 4. I have glorified you on earth, verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had, look at that, with you before the world was. Man, I think about that in my mind, it's hard to comprehend how Jesus left the glories of heaven. I mean, there with the Father, left the glories of heaven. Was the Bible said, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and came to this earth, this sinful world, born in a stable, born to a woman that he created to live a sinless life and to be falsely accused and go to an old rugged cross for you and for me. The glory that he had before he came to earth. The Bible says there in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory that I had before the world was. The direction he looked at the Heavenly Father. That's the direction to look when you're in need, when you're praying, and the desire that he sought was to glorify God. That ought to be our desire tonight as well. And then last of all, listen to this, the destiny that he completed. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. I had that underlined in my Bible. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Look at verse 4. I have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Here's the destiny that I'm talking about. Here's the destiny that Jesus completed. Look at verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Listen, when Jesus talked about eternal life, he was talking more. He was talking more than just living with him forever and going to heaven when we die and walk on streets of gold and live in a mansion. It starts, eternal life starts when we get saved. When you give your heart to Christ, when you're born again, you get eternal life. Right then, people say, people, you read obituary and they say that so-and-so passed away. Listen, if they're a Christian, they didn't pass away. They left earth and went, boom, straight into the presence of Almighty God. Eternal life. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Eternal life. He was talking more than just heaven. He was talking more than the day when we get to heaven. Eternal life starts the moment you get born again. It starts when you get saved. And he was talking about us having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is more than this being with Jesus. It's all about knowing him in a personal way. I grew up in a church in the low country that didn't teach anything about relationship. They taught join a church. I joined a church, never asked Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I didn't know I could pray. I wasn't taught that. I was taught that if you joined the church, you was fine. But listen, it's about a relationship, isn't it? It's about a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And we can have that relationship because of what Jesus Christ did while he was here on this earth. The Bible says in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. He didn't say that they may know about you. He didn't say that they may have an intellectual knowledge of you. He said eternal life is that they may know you. Knowing God and God knowing you. Having a relationship with God. Spending time with God in prayer and in Bible study. You know that word know there in the King James Version of the Bible means to know somebody intimately. And when you have a personal relationship with the Lord, you know Him intimately. You talk to Him and He talks to you. You say, preacher, how does He talk to us? He talks to us through that still small voice. He talks to us through our hearts, through the Word. He speaks to our hearts. That's what eternal life is having a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says this in James 2:19. You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the devil believes and trembles. It's like that man that came to his preacher one day and said, Pastor, it's always bothered me that the demons believe the same thing that I believe, and yet they're in hell. Where does that leave me? And the preacher said, well, it leaves you in the same place of the demons unless you repent of your sins and confess Jesus as Lord. Isn't that true? The Bible says in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. If you didn't hear anything I said tonight, hear this. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. He's talking about experiencing God. And listen, the only way you experience God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's the God way or no way. You can't know God the Father apart from the Son. Sin separated us from a holy God, and Jesus came and paid the price for that sin. And when we accept Jesus, we get to experience God. That's why the Bible says in John 14:6-11, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to God but through me. So as I close, let me say this. Eternal life is not something you earn by character. It's not about who you are. It's not anything that you earn by conduct. It is a free gift from God. And you receive that gift by admitting to God that you're a sinner. It's as simple as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. It's on our sign. Why would anybody want to know God intellectually without knowing Him intimately? I want to know all I can about Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him in a way that when He speaks to me, I know His voice. And the only way you can know that is by spending time with Him in prayer and spending time with Him in His Word. John 3:17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listen, I'm excited. I'm excited about prayer. And I hope you are. I hope it rubs off. I'm excited about what God's going to do as we pray together for the glory of God. Let's end in prayer tonight. Those that would and can, just let's come forward. Get on the altar. Get on the fronts and front seats, or just come as close as you can. Just pray right where you're sitting. But let's just end tonight in prayer.